Well, it has been a very interesting year, to say the least, and we'll add a few more things in this evening service as we report on our ministry. But let me just bring all of you up to speed if you are not aware. When I was seated in your place as a student many, many moons ago, I never thought that I would be where I am today, having faced what I've had to face and things of that nature. And it's been a real difficult year for us, but God has done a real work, and we're excited. We're just thrilled to see answers to prayer and all of those things. It was a year ago tomorrow, so we're almost to the 1 year anniversary when I learned definitively that I was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer. And when you are 40 or nearing 40, that is not a word that you expect to be heard spoken from your doctor. But it was true, and had to go through all of the things that are associated with the treatments and surgeries and a number of things there. And it was a very, very difficult time. I remember sitting in that hospital room. Let me back up just a little bit. My wife and I, we had had a team actually from Falls visit our ministry sometime in July, and after that, it was just a really busy season at that time, and so my wife and I decided we needed just a little bit of a break, so we went on a little vacation time there, got away, refocused, and it was during that time I started not feeling well, and when we returned, it just continued, and I figured, oh, just another few days of rest or take this medication, I'll be on my feet soon. And it just got worse and worse. And little did I know that I was very, very close to death. I couldn't tell you how long it would take, but my blood count had dropped. I was very anemic and just not doing well at all. My wife was concerned. I was avoiding the doctor at all costs. I hate going to the doctor. But she convinced me against my will. I went kicking and screaming. Not really. But I went, and I'm glad that I did. But I remember through those early days there in the hospital, just recognizing I've got to go through blood transfusion. We've got emergency surgery that has to be done. Hearing the cancer diagnosis, the treatments, we're just waiting for those. Just being overwhelmed in many ways with thoughts of, where are we? What are we doing? What do we do now? Just a lot of questions. I had never been down this road before, and no one ever wants to. But that being said, it caused me to really stop and consider some very key things that I needed to really focus on as we were thinking about ministry and what God was doing. And one question that I really had to stop myself and ask was, am I ready to see the Lord, soon? Because I thought it's very possible. I didn't know the outcome. And of course, I knew I was, my eternal security was settled. I was going to heaven. I knew that, but was I really ready to go now? Well, I don't think any of us ever are. We had a number of people from the States emailing and letting us know that they were praying for us and trying to encourage us, sending us passages of scripture that had been a blessing when they had faced trials. And I remember I believe it was about the day before chemotherapy, late October and early November. And I remember I was frightened beyond anything that I have ever faced before. And part of that, obviously it was the fear of the unknown. You've heard all the horror stories of chemotherapy and obviously having gone through everything I had. I lost about half of my hair, not through the chemo, but just through the worry of waiting for diagnosis. I was pulling it out, and it's like I hadn't even had any treatments yet. Everything started turning gray. I mean, it was a fearful time. My biggest fear, though, was not the unknown. My biggest fear were the needles that were going to come. I hate needles. That's why I avoid doctors. They have sharp, pointy things that they like to stick in you. And so I don't enjoy that. And so I was sitting there on my bed that morning and just crying out to God, Lord, I don't know if I can handle this. This is beyond me. And I remember as I sat there, I was just asking the Lord, you know, for his grace, for help. And I remember saying, Lord, I don't know where this passage is. I think it's somewhere in Psalms, and it's a verse of scripture that talks about how you'll strengthen us, and you're gonna hold our hand, you're gonna be right there with us, and I really need that at this time. I need your help. I'm heading into a fearful time, and I need you to really be right there with me. Well, I grabbed my Bible to look at a passage of scripture we had heard in church service earlier that week, and the Lord directed my attention to the book of Isaiah chapter 41. I want you to turn there this morning. I'm going to share with you the verse that God gave to me in that fearsome hour, as it were. It became a verse that I walked into every blood draw. I walked into every chemo treatment, thinking, meditating, and praying these words. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Look down at verse 13. It says, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." I didn't know those verses were in Isaiah. I thought they were in Psalms. But here they were. I just, minutes before, had just been praying and asking God for these very things. And here they are, opened in front of me. And they became just a foundation for the treatment, as I've already said. I love how it opens. And let me just stop and say for just a moment, I realize that this passage of Scripture and this message may not be it may not be something that you need now. But I'm thinking ahead and realizing, okay, there was a day I was in your shoes and I didn't realize I was going to be going through something and I needed these verses. And I really believe that God can take this and start to work in our own hearts and lives to facilitate this matter of trusting God, as we're going to see here. But it starts out in verse 10 is, "Fear thou not." Fear thou not. And of course, facing fear in a great way, stronger than I've ever seen it in my life before, I needed those words. Fear thou not. Why? Because the doctors know what they're doing? Because there's hope in the chemotherapy? No. Because it says in the next phrase, "For I am with thee." You see, my fear was only lessened when I realized that God was with me in that moment. You know, as we went through a dark time, a difficult time, a trying time, it was the presence of God that gave us that encouragement and took away that fear that we faced. Now, I realize, you know, when I was a student here, probably my biggest fear was either going to be the test I was going to face in some class, or maybe even for some of you, I remember the first time I went and knocked on a door, right? And it's not an easy thing to step out of your comfort zone. But then as I think about the passage there in Matthew, the Great Commission, what's the encouragement? "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." The presence of Jesus, the presence of our God, is what takes away our fear. We know that He goes with us. We can face those fears. We can face those difficult times because He is there. He calms us as we go through these things. And then our verse continues. It says, "Be not dismayed." It means to be bewildered or confused. I have never been so confused in my life. When we're getting different advice, we're trying to find counsel. What do we do? Where do we go? We decided ultimately to stay in South Africa for our treatment, or for my treatment. My wife wasn't getting treated. I was. So we stayed there. But we had a number of people. They gave opinions. We should come back to the States. We should stay there. It was all conflicting. We were confused. And we just had to step back and realize, you know what? We need to know God's will for ourselves. And we went to the Lord. We were asking God to make it clear to us. But here in this passage, He says, we are not to be dismayed. We're not to be confused and bewildered and just allow that to overcome us. I spend a lot of time asking God, why me? I know you're probably not supposed to do that. My faith was not very strong at that point. But I was asking questions, Lord, why did I have to go through this? Why are you putting my wife through this? I mean, there were a number of things associated with this trial. Why? Why? I don't understand. God's answer was this. He said, "For I am thy God." When we step back and we focused on the person and the character of God, when we realize that He does everything right and He makes no mistakes, that He had an eternal plan and purpose in mind, our perspective changed. We could trust Him. Difficult as it may have been, we could trust Him. And then I noticed, as I was reading in these two verses, it's followed by four promises. The first, "I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee." And then in verse 13, "I will hold thy right hand." Going through these times, I needed God's strength. I needed His help. There were days, you know, you're going through cancer, you're going through treatments. Chemotherapy is something that it affects everyone differently. And we've all heard the horror stories, but the reality is true. There are days that are good and there are days that are bad. You feel good, you feel bad. You know, it's just a constant roller coaster. Obviously, I always felt worse after the treatment. And those first few days were challenging. You're trying not to get irritated with people and you want the dog to stay away. You know, just leave me alone. Just give me my space so I can just recover. But, you know, I realize and we experienced God's strength working and giving us what we needed for each and every day. His help. You know, we were separated from family and friends and people you might consider as support. We were told by the oncology center that was there. They have a lady who really deals with kind of the mental or spiritual care in that sense. Just the doctors deal with the physical, and she kind of is trying to encourage you and keep your spirits up and giving a little bit of support. And she said, "You need to have a support group." Well, I didn't know of any, you know, support groups that I could go join. And, "Hi, my name's Nathan. I have cancer." You know, I didn't know any of that. I was going to have to deal with this with the people that I knew, at, you know, my wife and our coworkers, our church family. And frankly, that's far better than any, you know, support group in that sense. But even family and friends, they were here. We didn't have close access to them. And when we went to, you know, when we were going through some things, we'd have church folks come and visit from time to time, but it was limited. They had things going. Their life was continuing. And, you know, it wasn't always, if I may put it this way, it was not always enough, the support that I had. But you know what I found? I found that God was enough. My support system may have failed at times, not because of any fault of their own. Sometimes I just needed a little extra encouragement, but I found that God always worked in those times and helped encourage me. Obviously, giving that strength physically, but even mentally, as I was emotional. I remember one time I even apologized to my wife. I'm sorry. Sorry for what? I said, I put you through this. No, I didn't. I mean, this is just something God allowed into our life for whatever reason, and I still don't fully understand it, but I know that He was there and He made the right choice. Then He says, I will uphold thee. This is the idea of the sustaining work of God. I knew if I was going to get through, if I was going to survive this, if I was going to make it through, I was going to need God. I was going to need His help. And when the going got tough, I sat down and I cried out to God. And God was always faithful. Every single time. I didn't know if I was going to live or die. I didn't know if the chemotherapy would be successful. I didn't know any of those things, but I found God to be indeed faithful. I remember just spending a lot of those days it was a series of really 6 months. I had 8 treatments of chemotherapy. I would go in on a Thursday, and I had the infusion, and then that would be all I would have that day. And then the next day, Friday, I would start 2 weeks of chemotherapy tablets, pills, and get a week off, and then start that process over and over again. Every 3 weeks, it was the same thing. It was the same cycle, constantly shifting. 6 months of that, God sustained us every single step of the way. And then in this last promise here, it says in verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. As I sat there on my bed that morning, picture came to my mind. I like to imagine things. I have a very active imagination. You can only imagine. But please don't. But as I was sitting there on my bed, the picture of a small child reaching out for his father's hand. And the two of them walking side by side. And that child is secure. He's safe. Just trusting it. Dad's got everything under control. And, you know, just I was thinking about those things and how my Heavenly Father promises here in this verse to hold my hand. Whenever I have to go in for blood work or some kind of an injection, I find it's actually very helpful to have someone to hold your hand. Okay, I'm 40 and I'm still holding somebody else's hand. It's fine, okay? It is okay. It's something that, you know, it may be the way you have to do it. Okay. For me, that's been a help. I had a situation. I'm not going to get graphic here, but I had a situation just following my last surgery in June. I had a colostomy reversed and trying to get everything put back together so we could travel without being hindered in any way. During the surgery, or I'm sorry, in the ICU following the surgery, about a day or two after, the incision opened up a little bit and started to leak and bleed and things. And so I needed stitches. And the surgeon, he's like, no problem, we'll just stitch you up. And I went, oh no, that means a needle. And he said, actually, it's going to be 6 of them. Okay, I wasn't ready for that. Well, thankfully, I had a short South African man, he was my nurse at the time, And so he very graciously offered to come to my bedside and let me hold his hand and squeeze. I thought I was going to break his hand, but he said, no, it's fine. And I was watching his face just in case, but he never flinched. It was apparently I had lost enough strength I wasn't a danger to him. But I remember every single one of those pricks. And then I started realizing I'm not feeling too much anymore because he had put in the numbing agent. And okay, now I can handle the last. I think the last one I never even felt. It was actually very nice. And then I thought I'd never say that. But as I'm looking at the ceiling, I start realizing he's sewing up. And I think I ended up with 4 stitches. Okay, well, holding this man, Jerome, is his name, holding Jerome's hand, able to squeeze and take my attention off of that, you know, how much better to realize that my Heavenly Father promises to hold my hand when I go into these difficult times. Okay, it was great to have Jerome. Okay, I'll admit it. It was a source of comfort for me. I knew I was going to be able to make it through as long as I could squeeze and didn't feel that I was hurting him or any way, I could make it through. But when I realized that God was with me and God was holding my hand and God was going to be right there, again, like that child reaching up and not just reaching any hand, but reaching the hand, the right hand, which is, of course, the hand of strength. See, my arm of strength isn't enough. And I reach up to grab my Heavenly Father, and I latch on, and we hold on for all we're worth. He's right there. He follows this passage up at the end of that verse with a reminder. He repeats it, fear not. And when we consider all of these things, and we're reminded, look, He's with us. He's our God. Think of His character. Think of all that He has done. His works have proven Himself to be faithful in every situation, every circumstance. These promises of strength and help, of God's sustaining work, and the fact that He will hold our hands as we go through these difficult times. He then reminds us, fear not, or He reminds us not to fear, but He says, I will help thee. Again, college student, I realize this may be a little premature. You may not have gone through a trial like cancer or some other major thing. I understand. But I have no way of predicting what will come in the future. But if there's one thing that I want you to know, it does not matter what you face. It does not matter what comes your way. You can trust your God. He is faithful. He's trustworthy in every circumstance. As I said, as I went through those treatments, those 6 months of treatments, I started to do a Bible study through Psalms. Psalms tend to be very encouraging along the way of our difficult times. David and others seem to have gone through some very trying times, and they write some things that are encouraging. Okay, I'll run over there. The study that I was doing was I was looking for all the words that are translated in some form or another, but all deal with the matter of hope. You know, when you're going through difficult times, you need hope. You need something to look forward to, something to put your confidence in. And that, you know, there are many different Hebrew words in Psalms that are translated as hope or trust or whatever it may be. And one of those was Psalm 62. And so if you turn over there as we finish this morning, Psalm 62. (Clears throat) David is writing. Let me just read a few verses in here before we get to the verse I want to look at. It says, he says there in verse 1, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." Verse 6 says again, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Verse 8. Trust in him. Trust in him. It's easy to say. The word trust here is a word that means to hasten for refuge. This word is often translated hope. It's one of the ways. Trust. Run. When we face difficulties, when we face trials, I know we often think of that, especially in the college setting, the exams or things that we're facing, and we need God. It could be, again, a soul-winning opportunity or some other ministry thing we're looking for. You know, it could be a lot of different things that we face. We realize that we need to trust God. We run to him, and that's the right and proper thing to do. But to run, to hasten, move quickly. You know, I find for me, I don't move as quickly in running to the Lord as I probably should. Let's be honest. If I think I can handle it, I'm going to try. That's my nature. So again, back to my health, I thought, oh, I'm just a little few more days of rest. I'll just take this pill. I'm fine. I don't need the doctor. You know, I'll try what I can to do it myself. That's the way we often think. But to run to God, and not just to run to him eventually, but to run to him first, because it says here, trust in him at all times. You know, and again, when we think we can handle it, times are good or not so bad, we try. It would be far better to run to God every time, all the time. Trust in him at all times. You know, when the rug is pulled out from under you, things are really bad. That's when I personally find it the easiest to run to God, because I'm desperate. I need to learn to run to God first. Even when I don't think I need him, I do. Run to him for refuge. Trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart before him. I did a lot of that. And I'm sure you have as well at times. To pour out our heart, to let him know what is happening. And yet, it reminds me of a passage that early on in this became very sweet for me. There's a passage in Hebrews chapter 4, you'll remember it, when it talks about our great high priest. It tells us that we have this high priest is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And I realized, you know, I've heard all of these verses before, but I realized in that, as I was thinking on those that verse in particular, the Lord Jesus doesn't just understand what I'm going through. He does, but he also understands the feelings that I'm experiencing, the emotions, and he sympathizes with them. He understands. And as I was going through it, and I remember my wife couldn't visit all the time. In fact, she was probably there in those early days a few hours a day because of the way visitation hours were. And so I had a lot of time by myself sitting in the hospital. Time to cry out to God. Time to sit and think and realize that he understands. He knows what I'm going through. He knows what I'm feeling. And he's right here. And it was almost as if you would have a friend come and just put their arm around and just try to encourage you. And the encouragement that I got received from just thinking on those, it was just a blessing. You know, we take our burdens to the Lord. We pour out our heart before Him in this, many times in agony and just one, and just confusion. But then He says this, God is a refuge. He's a refuge for us. This word refuge is another word translated as hope. It means a shelter, a place of hope. When we run to Him, when we hasten to Him as a place of refuge, we find in Him that place of hope. As my faith grew, I found hope to be restored. I found hope swelling, growing. College student, God can be trusted. In Him you'll find hope. You know these things. You've heard these things. They're not unfamiliar to you. But it may be, I don't know, it may be that one day, it may be that one day these things will be put to the test for you. I hope not, but it's possible. We live in a sin-cursed earth. Whatever you face, I want you to begin now to think, to begin now to implement trust in your God. A faith that is unwavering. A faith that will, and again, it's not our own faith, right? It's something very small. We don't need a lot. We just need to rest in Him. He's the foundation. That's why I'm not trusting in my own ability. I'm not trusting in my own strength, my own faith. It says trust in Him at all times. Did my trust in God change my circumstances? No. I had cancer. I had to go through treatments. And now I still have needles to look forward to every 6 months. Yay. It didn't change my circumstances, but God enables us to overcome. He enables us to win that victory, even over our own feelings and emotions. We can win. So trust the Lord. Begin to implement those things now. And when you face those difficult days that may come, you'll be ready. I wish I was. Again, I had heard these things, but cancer's for old people. I found out I'm old people now. And you're proving it. You're so young. But we don't know. We don't know what God has for us. But remember, He has an eternal plan and purpose. I was reminded these things are for His glory, for our good. Shape us and mold us into the image of Christ. I wish I knew all the reasons. I wish I knew all of the answers. I don't. But I say with the psalmist, it is good that I have been afflicted. I thank God for my cancer. I know that's strange to say, but it's true. It's true. Trust in Him at all times.